think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
According to Hunter Biden's attorney today, he wants to come forward, and I think that's great. Give him an opportunity. He's going to have due process. He's going to be able to answer some questions. But this isn't about Hunter Biden. This is an investigation by Congress of Joe Biden for potential corruption. Hunter Biden is a key witness in our investigation of Joe Biden. We know the Biden family has received millions and millions of dollars from our enemies around the world. We don't know what they did to receive the money.
No, we don't, and we want some answers. And that, of course, is James Comer, head of the House Oversight Committee, looking into the Hunter Biden scandal and everything tied to it. That would include Joe Biden. And as Comer is quick to point out, Hunter is just a cog in the machine. We want the guy, the big guy, as maybe Hunter referred to in his laptop. And they're going to continue pushing. Now, as you know, the other day we had the word come out that, or yesterday, that Hunter Biden's attorney saying he will testify. He got a subpoena, willing to come testify, but we're going to do it in a public forum. We want it all open to the public for everybody to see. Now, on one hand, that sounds, well, that's great. But there's some issues with that, which I'll begin to break down for you as we move forward. Thank you again for joining us. Here we are in the second hour of two of Larry Connors USA. We're here every Monday through Friday for you, 6 to 8 p.m. And here we are, November 29, 2023. And when we're on the air, we're also streaming video from the studio. And you can see the video at News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, Rumble, and numerous other platforms. And if you miss anything, always remember you can go to Larry Connors USA.com, LarryConnorsUSA.com, and pull up anything you want. And, of course, you're always welcome to add comments. I try my best to stay up with some of the comments. I came across some the other day that had been sitting there for a couple of weeks, and I apologize. I truly do. I'm trying to stay on top of them, but we got so many different platforms and remarks coming from different folks, and I certainly appreciate them. I'm just sorry that I'm so slow getting back to you. I could say, you know, we'll put our staff on that, right, Quentin? We'll get our staff of our minions out there and go do it. No, I'd rather answer each of them because you asked or wanted to make a remark. One the other day said, you'll love this. I don't even know who the person is. I didn't look. I just saw the comments. It says, are you really tough as you sound like you are on the air? Now, that's the way I interpret it. He may have meant it. Are you as tough as you are, really, as you sound on the air? In other words, just inquisitive. But I almost took it like a challenge, a slap to the face. Are you really as tough as you sound on the air? That's the way I took it. If I took it wrong, I apologize. But I gave him the answer back. The answer is, a Marine can be your best friend or your worst enemy. You decide. I haven't heard anything back since. Anyway, glad to have you with us. Please continue to let your friends, family, and others know. Even let your enemies know. I love to have those who disagree with us. And I also want to remind you, this is not just politics. I push patriotism above politics any and every day. Unfortunately, politics is involved in everything nowadays. Everything from how your children are being indoctrinated in school to how a 300-pound man can claim he's a woman and a person who can give birth. B.S. All right, let's get back to the Hunter Biden investigation. First of all, Maria Bartiromo had on South Carolina Congresswoman Nancy Mace and said, we've heard all kinds of numbers and money thrown about. How much money are we actually talking about tied up in all this mess?
It's north of $50 million, the amount of money that we're talking about that we've seen in suspicious activity reports, the amount of money that's been laundered through that family, through their corruption, is going to be north of that. And I think it's significant sums. And, you know, was it cash? Was it credit card? How was this done? Where did Joe Biden have access to the money? All these things can come forward through the testimony of people like Hunter Biden and those affiliated with him. And this is just the start. I want to bring in the bookkeeper. I want to bring in other witnesses and whistleblowers. There's so many different points to this investigation. It's going to take a bit of time, but the deposition is the first place to start, and I can't wait to take my turn with Hunter Biden on this.
What would be your most important question for Hunter Biden then?
Well, first of all, I want to say to the Trump family, this is a complete double standard, what the Biden family is trying to accomplish here. But Hunter Biden, really, at the end of the day, I want to know where all the bodies are buried. I want to know how much money you pocketed, how much money you earned, and then you gave to your father for this pay-to-play scheme. At the end of the day, the American people deserve nothing less but the truth.
Absolutely. Just give us the truth. Sometimes that hurts. It may hurt someone you love. It may hurt someone you support, that you stand behind. Do you want to live in a world of fiction, or do you want the truth? I'd rather have the truth. Or as we begin the program every day, as you well know from that famous movie, you couldn't handle the truth. Most of you can. I know you can. Even when it tastes sour and bitter, swallow it and understand that's the truth. Now, Hunter Biden coming forward through his counsel yesterday saying, I got the subpoena. I understand you want me. I'm willing to come, but I want to do it in front of all these TV cameras. Well, we do want to see that. But there's a reason for a closed-door session first, because a closed-door session opens up a full deposition. If you're doing it by parliamentary rules of a congressional or Senate hearing that's taking place in front of the public, each one would get a certain amount of time. You've heard them say that. You've exceeded your time. You have to yield to so-and-so, and the other side gets to throw their question in. So whatever was being pushed gets thrown aside for that moment. So New York Congresswoman Stefanik says, here's a good reason to keep in mind why we want the closed-door session before the open session.
In an open public hearing, you see the Democrats turn this into a charade. It's 5 minutes on each side, and it doesn't allow you to get to the facts in a deposed manner. A closed-door hearing allows a legal definition. That is the only compliance with the Republican subpoena. It allows you to follow the facts, to ask follow-up questions, and that is incredibly important when we're doing this investigative work in part of this impeachment inquiry. And my colleague, Chairman Comer, is exactly correct. This is not about Hunter Biden. This is about Joe Biden and whether or not he is compromised. I believe he is fully compromised, and I believe that as we continue uncovering evidence, we will see that this is the greatest political corruption scandal of our lifetime. But that can only be found if we're able to follow the evidence in a closed-door deposition. And of course, we welcome an open hearing for the American people to see, but there has to be a closed-door deposition with a long-form interview with all of the witnesses.
And that is standard, basically, in any trial. Before there is a trial that everyone can attend, there are depositions taken from each side. They nail you down on certain things and get some of the facts and issues locked down that they can agree on or don't agree on, or they get you cornered on a lie, then they can bring up the hey, this deposition we did the other day, this one right here, this says you said there, and you just contradicted yourself. Well, I think the person taking notes must have copied them wrong. Boy, we have videotape of it. Well, I'll find another reason. That was New York Congresswoman Stefanik saying why we want it. I want you also get the viewpoint of South Carolina Congresswoman Nancy Mace.
When you sit for a deposition, there are attorneys involved, members are involved, staff are involved. You sit there for hours. It could go all day. You get a lot more information that you then can bring out during a public hearing. But he shouldn't be treated any differently than anyone else. And let's face the facts. Don Jr. sat for not one, but two depositions before Congress. So, Hunter Biden, what are you so afraid of?
So what do you want to find out from Hunter Biden? What's most important to you?
I want to know where all the bodies are buried. I want to know how these companies were created and layered, where the money was from China and how it got to the U.S., how it got to different Biden family members. Where was Joe Biden? How was he involved? What kind of bribery, the WhatsApp messages, the emails, the text messages? We'll be able to verify his accounting of all of that. And quite frankly, I think he needs to sit for more than one deposition. There's so much money that was involved here. It's incredible. But we've got to do the first step, which is the deposition.
North of 50 million. Again, Congresswoman Stefanik says the Democrats want to have this all out in the public, but keep in mind how they played the game.
Democrats, when they were in the majority, they demanded that there be closed-door depositions. And Jamie Raskin, who you quoted beforehand, or the reporter quoted, said it was unacceptable, for example, for Steve Bannon to appear publicly and not comply with the deposition. So now the shoe's on the other foot, and the Democrats want to wipe away their previous statement. Democrats also demanded that Donald Trump Jr. appear, and he appeared before two closed-door depositions and did the transcribed interviews. This is part of our congressional oversight, and that's going to be very important. And the only compliance is appearing before that closed-door deposition, and we're going to stand by that as House Republicans.
Well, part of the issue is your colleagues on the left want to stop Trump in any way, shape, or form, and they don't want this spotlight on the Biden family.
They don't want it on it, but it's getting tougher. In fact, Wisconsin Senator Johnson is saying an impeachment of Biden could well be coming soon. And, of course, that's that one. And then we have an impeachment inquiry vote from others as well. I mean, that's what they're saying. We'll see how much they hold to it. So Hamas continues to talk about releasing more prisoners. Israel wants to wipe out Hamas. But if there's a slim chance even, to get more prisoners safely back, what's the trade? How do you do that? Trump National Security, former National Security Advisor John Bolton.
They're trying to put the onus on the Israeli forces if and when they begin hostilities again. They are playing, I think, a surprisingly sophisticated psychological game here. I don't think this one event is necessarily going to be the alpha and omega, but if this sets a precedent that undermines Israeli resolve to achieve what they're legitimately entitled to achieve, the elimination of Hamas as a threat, it'll be a huge victory for the terrorists.
Yeah, and that's the point. They are having their way right now, because as long as they say, hey, we're going to give you 10 more prisoners, you want them? Well, of course you want them. But at some point, do you have to say, give them all to us right now or else? They're going to take the RLs because they know if they're going to give them all to you, there's going to be an RLs anyway. John Bolton again. This is Hamas's game.
Fundamentally, what's going on here is that Hamas is playing a game of psychological warfare against the people of Israel and the people of the United States as well. They're trying to distract Israel from its strategic mission of eliminating Hamas, and trying to focus on the question of the hostages, the question of the condition of civilians in Gaza. Obviously, this is a heart-wrenching situation, and you can feel nothing but compassion for the families of the hostages. But in cold fact, Israel's strategic mission here is much more important. But if the Hamas effort can help break the morale, can help break the resolve of the Israeli forces.
If they can do that, then they're winning again. I shared something in the first hour. If you didn't get a chance to hear it, shame on you. But I know you have other things going on. But it's worth sharing again here. How do they determine who they're going to release and when? I want to give you the story that was put together by Breitbart, quoting sources. They're saying that negotiators in Qatar are talking over the release of additional groups of Israeli hostages, and they've divided them into groups and categories, like cattle. You ever been to a cattle auction? They bring out four or five young steers and say, you know, anybody, you ever watch it? This is kind of what's happening here, only these are human beings we're trying to save. And they're bringing them out in these groups and categories like cattle, with each group to fetch a different price in the negotiation. They're calling it a humiliating exercise, and then yet it is still a public relations victory for Hamas, just like John Bolton was suggesting. Because then they can demand different prices for each group. The conclusion of the article basically is, the result is a process that looks more like bartering over goods in a Middle Eastern bazaar than a discussion about human beings, all of whom were kidnapped in a terrorist attack, all of whom are being held in violation of international law without Red Cross visits. Where's the world outcry over that? None. None. John Bolton says, here's who really is benefiting at this point.
I think on balance, in a military sense, Hamas is the beneficiary more than the Israeli side. Certainly, as you heard from your previous guest, the Israelis are going to move people around. They're going to change troops out. They're going to do a number of things. They will take advantage of the pause as well. But it's Hamas that's getting pounded here. I don't think we know the full amount of devastation that the Israeli forces have wrought, but it's Hamas that needs the break, and the longer they can make that break, the better off they'll be. I don't think people should forget that at the beginning of this war, the Biden administration sent military advisors to Israel that said, look, learn from our experiences in Iraq and Afghanistan. Don't rush in pell-mell. Take your time. This is very complicated. Using the examples particularly of Fallujah and Mosul in Iraq, which took 9 to 12 months for American and Iraqi forces to secure. We're 7 weeks into this. There's a long way to go. But if Israel's resolve can be weakened and broken, they'll never get to the amount of time they really need to accomplish the stated objective of eliminating Hamas.
Yeah, they're not going to get it at this point. And something else to keep in mind. We have all these students in these elite colleges and universities running up and down the hallways, waving PLO flags and down the streets, and many of them also carrying Hamas flags, or shouting out, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. And they really don't know what they're speaking of most of the time. And that one phrase is enough to say we're going to wipe out all Jews in the name of Sharia law for Muslims. Where are they in crying out for the Muslims being held captive as prisoners in Russia? The Uyghur Muslims who are being enslaved inside Russia? Where's all the cry and the pity and do something about to help them? Well, it's whatever they can get to play for right now, and that's the song they're dancing to. I'd mentioned to you previously that a top CIA official posted a pro-Palestinian image on her Facebook 2 weeks after October 7. I want to give you more details on that story. And also, Joe Biden is once again trying to peddle more money for Ukraine, and how he's doing it, it's crass, and that's being nice. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
You guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local angle.
Oh, people, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local, really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1
and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444. 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
I have a great whiskey suggestion. Stolach Whiskey, created using natural limestone filtered water from the Ozark Highlands, aged in Missouri oak. Next time, get a bottle. But if you're going to share with friends, you better get at least two bottles. Stolach has the Larry Connors seal of approval. See the full story at Stolach.com. Stolach, Stolloch, from Stone Ledge Distillery.
I've been holding it so long. I've been sleeping all alone. Lord, I miss you. I've been hanging on the phone. I've been sleeping all alone. I won't kiss you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. There is a top CIA official. A top official in our Central Intelligence Agency that posted a pro-Palestinian image on her Facebook 2 weeks after Hamas launched that terrorist attack against Israel October 7. The Financial Times breaking the story, saying that the senior intel official, an associate deputy director for an analyst, had changed her Facebook cover photo on October 21, as I say, about 2 weeks from October 7, to an image of a man waving a Palestinian flag that is often used in stories criticizing Israel. The Financial Times called it, quote, a rare public political statement by a senior intelligence officer, and added, very unusual for a senior intel official to post, quote, an overtly political image on a public platform. The same official also published a selfie with a sticker saying, Free Palestine. Someone apparently familiar with that said, well, that was on Facebook years ago anyway. Well, all the images have now been deleted from her Facebook page after the Financial Times. What are you doing here? What's this all about? The Financial Times decided not to name her after the CIA expressed concern for her safety. You do know if it had been anybody of a conservative nature that had done anything that might be considered out of line for an intel official or any public official to do, they would have been all over the name. The Daily Caller is identifying her as Amy McFadden. And there's a person on Facebook by that name, a photo matching her LinkedIn profile, running a birthday fundraiser in 2022 for the U.S. mission to the U.N. High Commissioner for Human Rights. And their current High Commissioner just last month said, further escalation or continuation of military activities would be catastrophic for the people of Gaza. Yes, yes, one of those saying, stop the bombing, stop the bombing. You've had your, you've got enough killed in what happened to you people. Your equal went out. We're equal. No, you're not. Financial Times also reported the CIA official has previously overseen the production of the president's daily brief. This is the intel presented to the president every morning. This person was compiling all that information to be given to Joe Biden in the morning. Now, whether or not he actually read it, or he's read to him, or he, who knows what he did with it. But she was in her position, one of the two responsible for approving all analysis disseminated inside the agency. And a former intel official told the Financial Times, the public posting of an obviously controversial political statement by a senior analytical manager in the middle of a crisis shows, oh my God, I cannot read these next three words without laughing a little bit. When you hear the words, you're going to hear and understand why. Okay, let me compose myself again. The public posting of doing this in the middle of a crisis shows glaringly poor judgment. You think that's glaringly poor judgment? The former official also told the Financial Times that image raises concerns on several levels, including the fact that the CIA has strong relations with Israeli intelligence. See, there's that other side of the issue. So the CIA decided we will release a statement. The CIA, who talks to no one at any time at anything for anything, did this time and stated, CIA officers are committed to analytical objectivity, which is at the core of what we do as an agency. CIA officers may have personal views, but this does not lessen their or CIA's commitment to unbiased analysis. How do you know that? You're supposed to just take your word for it, right? Just like we're supposed to take the word from all those intel officers who signed off on the Hunter Biden laptop was a fraud and it was Russian collusion, and not one of them probably even saw the laptop or anything that was on it. They would just say, hey, will you sign it? Sign up for my Girl Scout cookies. Also, will you sign this saying that the Biden laptop is a fraud? Will you do that? Okay. And you get cookies for a price. So the CIA says, we will have personal views, obviously, but that will not lessen our commitment to unbiased analysis. I don't think I can buy that first, second, or even third time. Can you? The CIA director, Bill Burns, is currently in Qatar to meet with the Israeli intel chief and the prime minister in Qatar discussing more hostage recovery, which makes this revelation a little bit more awkward, does it not? Yes. Other former intel officials slammed the pro-Palestinian postings, considering what Burns is trying to do, calling it, quote, exceptionally and surprisingly bad judgment. But I see nothing in here written anywhere. What has happened to that senior intel official, the associate deputy director for analysts, since she did this? She purged her Facebook and everything, but has she been purged? I think not, judging by what I'm seeing at this point. There are a growing number of Senate Democrats, according to Politico, that appear open to making it harder for migrants to seek asylum in order to secure Republican support for getting aid to Ukraine and Israel. And according to Politico, they're motivated not just by concern for America's embattled allies. They also believe changes are needed to help a migration system crisis that's been growing more dire and to potentially dull the political sting of border politics in battleground states before the 2024 elections. Yes, immigration, wide open borders is a key issue for many. Wait till you hear the story I've got for you out of Chicago on that point. Before I get to that, Senator John Tester, Democrat, Montana, long ways from our southern border, also recognizing, saying, I do think the border needs some attention. I'm one that thinks it doesn't hurt. He said, I'm eager to see if we can come up with a bipartisan negotiation on some kind of policy issue to deal with immigration. He, at this time, won't commit to supporting any deal until he gets details, but he is not ruling out backing stronger border requirements, as in reinforcing the border. Not saying he will, but he's not backing out of that possibility. That again, Senator John Tester, Democrat in Montana. Well, let's continue in the northern portion of our nation. Senator Tammy Baldwin, Democrat, Wisconsin. I'm quoting her, I am certainly okay with border policy being part of a national security supplemental. She's facing re-election next year. Oh, she hears the bell tolling. When it comes to changes on asylum policy, she said, I'd like to see us make some bipartisan progress. The system's broken, blah, 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 blah. They all want to say the system's broken, and they're trying to blame it on anyone other than them. It's been broken for a long time. And, of course, the Biden administration wants $106 billion for Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, and the border. But they're really beginning to realize, even among Democrats, immigration reform activists and independent voters and those who want the border closed, they're not really going to back us in our elections. Now, let me turn your attention to the story I said from Chicago. You know Lori Lightfoot is no longer there. What a shame. She was always a good headliner. But the new, and been there for some time now, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson says, this Windy City migrant crisis we have here, I inherited it from Lori Lightfoot. He was talking about constructing a city's first government-run migrant tent encampment, which the residents of the area do not want. And he said, look, the international crisis that I inherited 6 months ago, I made it very clear we're going to make sure that we remove people out of police districts, women and children who are living on floors, sleeping outside. We're going to create spaces providing more dignity. About 20,000 migrants, as they call them, illegals, pouring into Chicago since August 2022. Some bust in from the southern border right to the liberal cities, because they said they were a sanctuary city, and now they don't want to be that anymore. And there's one homeless vet that said he got turned out of a shelter because they needed to make room for more illegals. But here's the new Democrat mayor of Chicago saying, I inherited this from Lori Lightfoot. And you should also add Joe Biden's name in there. You know, when the rats start scurrying around and climbing over each other to get off the boat first before it goes down, it's a great thing to witness, is it not? I mentioned earlier that Joe Biden is doing his best to try to get more money for Ukraine, and what he is doing now, it is absolutely, I have no word I can use right now. Please stand by.
Yeah. You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Ackerman Toyota has the 2024 models. You're going to be impressed. Check them out in person at Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. In fact, you've got to see the 2024 Toyota Sequoia. Very impressive. This is the time to buy and get top dollar for your vehicle. Looking for pre-owned? Ackerman Toyota can also help you. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield is so luxurious you might think you have to be a member. You don't, but you will quickly see why Lit won the 2023 Riverfront Times Best Smoking Lounge, Best Smoke Shop for the second time in a row. Quality cigars, premium drinks. So join me at Lit, just off 40 in the district at Chesterfield. For special events, entertainment, always check the website, litstl.com. litstl.com.
Jimmy's in the back with a pocket of heart. If you listen close, you can hear him cry. Oh, Lord, heaven knows we belong way down below. Sing it.
Oh, Lord, heaven knows we belong way down below. Way down below, way down below.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, welcome back, and I told you what Joe Biden is doing now to try to buy more votes for something he wants. You know that he's already dipped into our strategic oil reserve repeatedly to get your gas prices down as you go into holidays. So, well, we're not paying as much as we were. Well, you're not, but you're still paying more than you were the last year Trump was in office. And I'm not saying that I'm trying to give credit to Trump. I'm just saying the numbers say that you're paying about a dollar more minimum right now. Although it's lower than it had been. And why? Because Joe Biden goes into our strategic reserves, which are meant for an emergency situation for our nation, and just spread it around, buy some vote. It is it's just like the guy that goes around to homes on election day and hands out coupons for a free bottle of liquor, or brings a bottle of liquor, or brings money and says, "Hey, when you go down to vote, you know, come back, let me know, and I'll give you another one." You know, it's buying votes is what it is, which is obviously illegal. But for those who engage in it, they don't see anything wrong with it. Why not? So Joe Biden has been really pushing to get $60 billion more for Ukraine, as you well know. It's all wrapped up into a $106 billion deal that was going to include $14.5 billion for Israel, which even Democrat Senator Chuck Schumer, a Jew, stood in the Senate well and said, "We need this money for Israel ASAP." And House Majority Leader Mike Johnson got a bill passed through the House that said, here's your $14.5 billion for Israel. Take it and go. But it doesn't have any Ukraine money in it. Well, no, we're just giving you the money for Israel. It doesn't have money for border processing and things like that, other stuff we want. No, but here's your $14.5 billion for Israel. You said you wanted it. Here it is. And they've turned their back on it because they want all these other little goodies in. Now Joe Biden is resorting to, I said earlier, crass, really crass, but it goes even deeper than that, effort to say, hey, guys, you need to step up and give more money to Ukraine. They cannot even explain what we have given already, where it is, who got it, what happened to it. They cannot even begin to explain. But right now, the White House is pushing a graphic, a map of the U.S. of A. around to various members of Congress, especially battleground states they see coming, like Pennsylvania and Arizona. I'm looking at this map right here in front of me, and it deals with how much money many states are getting if more money goes to Ukraine. Say what? Yeah, the money goes to Ukraine, but items are being purchased in U.S. states and our equipment being built in U.S. states that would be part of that package. Joe Biden said, I was going to butcher it. I'll read it the way it's written. I'm not going to try to make fun of him. But the way the statement is stated, he apparently said it as cleanly and distinctly as I'm going to say it. Let me be clear about something. We send Ukraine equipment sitting in our stockpiles. When we use the money allocated by Congress, we use it to replenish our own stores, our own stockpiles with new equipment. Equipment that defends America, is made in America, Patriot defense missiles for air defense batteries, made in Arizona, artillery shells manufactured in 12 states across the nation, including Pennsylvania, Ohio, Texas, and so much more. You know, just as in World War II, today, patriotic American workers are building the arsenal of democracy and serving the cause of freedom. You know where this is going. Because according to the map, as Politico took a look at it, Pennsylvania will be getting something like $2.3 billion in investments out of the money he wants for Ukraine. $2.3 billion will be going to build munitions and tactical vehicles for Ukraine. Pennsylvania, big battleground state, is going to get the most of any state. Arizona, a close second. That's going to be another battle state, getting $2.2 billion. Of this money that's all part of the Ukraine budget Joe Biden wants. Texas and Arkansas getting about $1.5 billion. Florida even getting $1 billion out of it. So in total, those states are getting something like $27 billion in investments by helping arm Ukraine, according to the graphic, and all that was first reported by Reuters. When a Defense Department spokesman was asked about a comment on the map and what it showed, the response was immediate. No comment. So that's what they're now trying to say. Look, keep in mind, you guys keep saying it's all going to Ukraine. It's really going to American-made products and employing American workers. You see what he's doing here? He's buying votes again. Now, obviously, if you or a relative work at one of those facilities, that's going to be added job security and money for you, and I understand that. And I think you've got to look out for you and your family. But they have now reached a point that we can't get this Ukraine money over there. So what we'll do is show you how much it actually benefits Americans. In other words, to hell really with Ukraine. Just give us the money and know that you're going to get something down the line. And Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is promising to vote on this bill as soon as the week of next week, December 4. House Republicans, of course, have grown increasingly upset with more aid for Ukraine. They're worried about the overall price tag and the end game of the conflict. Congressman Mike Garcia, Republican, California, at the center of the GOP supplemental debate, now circulating a memo to make the case for a slimmed-down funding package focused solely on providing munitions and other weapons Ukraine needs to turn the tide. And he estimates the cost of those weapons, $15 to $20 billion. Joe Biden wants $60 billion plus. That's nowhere near what he wants. Well, Congressman Garcia said, I agree with the arguments for ramping up the industrial base, but splitting the funding for replenishing Pentagon inventories and building up the defense industry from Ukraine spending, keep in mind they're really two distinct efforts that'd be politically acceptable to skeptical Republicans, I think. He added, the reality is that if we're paying aerospace and defense companies to tool up for enhanced capacity, that is a fight against China. He said that's a fight that supplies our DOD, our Defense Department, not Ukraine. And he's dead on about that point. So when he got asked about the map and how it's being shown, look at all the money that's going to be going to Pennsylvania and even your state of Texas. Your state of Texas, Garcia. Oh, I'm sorry, that's California. He's with California, not Texas. And I didn't read any numbers going to California, but I see some here. They're going to get, based on the map I have here in front of me, they're getting a paltry, looks like $120 million, I guess, best I can rake out the map. I told you who's getting the most already. That'd be Pennsylvania and Arizona. But Garcia State's going to get some money, too. But he said, again, that's the issue. He said, we need to be worried about supplying our Department of Defense, not Ukraine's, because we need it to deal with China. So when he got asked about the map and how it was emphasizing the industrial base is something we need to be doing, and basically he's accusing the administration of not having a real strategy, purposely keeping it ambiguous. He said, Republican skeptics of Ukraine aid are not going to change their mind. If you don't have the answers, just selling this as, you know, funding more jobs in your district thing, it's not going to work. Apparently Joe Biden and the rest of the White House staff think it will. You want more money? We can get it for you. All you have to do is pass this Ukraine funding package I have here in front of me. We'll make sure you get more money. It'll end up in your state as well, and one way or the other. So look at it this way. You're voting for more money for your state. It's the old pork in the barrel in every budget. When we try to cut pork out, somebody's going to say, oh, don't pull my pig out. I want my pig. The game never really changes, just the players. And you're responsible for who's doing the playing. You need to take it seriously. So in just minutes after we wrap up this hour, Sean Hannity will be moderating what they're calling a debate between Florida Governor DeSantis, California Governor Newsom. No, Larry, you must have the names wrong. You must have the names wrong. They're not running against each other, not in a primary, not even in a general election at this point. No, I'm telling you exactly the truth, and it's circus time. And former Arkansas Governor Huckabee says Governor Newsom must believe this will be a fair fight.
Well, it is to his credit that he's willing to do it, because a lot of people simply would say, no, I don't think I'm going to be treated fairly. I think you will treat him fairly. For DeSantis, he needs the boost. He needs to be able to show that he can get on this kind of stage, because he hasn't been on a stage yet in the debates in which he just walked away with it. So his numbers have not moved. They've, if anything, declined since he first got in. He needs a boost. And especially with Nikki Haley now getting the nod from a lot of the mega donors, which frankly may be more helpful to Ron DeSantis than hurtful, I think it's a great opportunity for both of them.
Those are the words of former Arkansas Governor Huckabee, believing that Newsom's going on, even though it's Fox Network, and going on with Sean Hannity to be the moderator, that he thinks he's going to be treated fairly. And I assume he probably will be, that Hannity's going to try to play it pretty square and be tough on both of them, like we do on this program. There are no sacred cows. You go after each of them just as tough. In fact, if I'm in favor of a proposition you have, I may go after you tougher just to prove to everyone I'm not going to be your lackey. Now, again, they are calling it, as the network is billing it, the great red versus blue state debate. The great red and versus blue state debate. Well, there are obviously a lot of differences between Texas and California, you know. I'll break down a couple more points for you, but before we do, I want you to hear from another political analyst, Mark Penn, a Democrat analyst.
I think this is a high-risk event for everybody involved. I think Ron DeSantis expected to be much higher in the presidential race against Donald Trump, so this has now turned into something that might have been risky, where he has everything to lose, where maybe if he pulls off a great debate here and defends his record, he'll actually come up a few points in the presidential race. Newsom, he doesn't have much to lose here. He's not expecting to get Fox voters to vote for him no matter what. On the other hand, if he can slay Ron DeSantis, that's going to put him in a great position in the presidential bullpen, which is really what he's interested in getting.
Yeah, he's still sitting in the shadows. They don't like each other by any means. When DeSantis sent some illegals into California, Newsom called him a small little man, mean little man. And then DeSantis fired back to Newsom and said, when are you really going to come out and declare you're running for the White House instead of standing in the shadow of Joe Biden? Oh, there are going to be some fireworks possibly. But then the whole issue of being red state versus blue state debate. There's a lot of legitimacy in that. And by the way, if DeSantis were bigger in the polls right now, he probably would not take part in this. Real clear politics shows that right now, between all the average of polls, between Biden and Trump, Trump wins by 3% overall. And he's leading the primary field by 30-plus. Nikki Haley's gaining, DeSantis slipping. So this is a chance for DeSantis maybe to get something going. And if you're going to talk about the issues between red and blue states, that means you're going to be dealing with, as Hannity has said already, the economy. Which state's doing best in the economy, red states or blue states? What about their thoughts on the border? Yeah, there's another good issue. Immigration, of course, comes along with that. That would be illegal immigration. Crime. How are red states versus blue states doing when it comes to dealing with crime? I remind you, the Chicago mayor has said, I inherited all this from Lori Lightfoot and the rest of them. So he's already trying to escape that issue himself. And then we have inflation. All of those are on the table for the voters. And apparently they're all going to be on part of the stage when it comes up shortly. Thank you for listening, as always. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.